5 creepiest and true cryptid encounters from Reddit. Untouched areas. I must begin by mentioning a few things. This account is secondhand but has been narrated to me multiple times by the person who experienced it. Although I am a natural skeptic and cynic, I cannot dismiss it entirely, as his storytelling was consistent and concise. I have known him for many years, and his advice and input on various matters are well-reasoned and helpful. Therefore, I will try to take his word for it, albeit with a grain of salt. Now let's delve into the story. My friend Marv enjoys solo camping trips to connect with nature and is an avid gun collector and enthusiast. I cannot recall the exact time when this occurred, but it was a few years ago when he impulsively decided to go camping. He packed his gear, including a hunting rifle and a .45 sidearm, and ventured into the countryside to camp on a vast property owned by a friend, where he had full permission. This incident took place near the Kisatchee National Forest in south central Louisiana. Marv liked to hike deep into the forest and camp at specific spots he had discovered on previous trips. The details of these locations are not the focus of this account. On this trip, he set up camp in his usual small clearing. Fast forwarding to the late afternoon, Marv heard leaves crunching and twigs snapping. Assuming it was an animal, he got up from cooking on the fire to investigate. He saw a man approaching through the trees, several yards away. Marv's approach to encountering others in remote areas is to be cautious and friendly, as most people he meets are also armed. He tries to remain on guard, as one can never be sure of people's intentions in the middle of nowhere. In this case, he was alarmed because he knew he was the only one with permission to be on the property, and the man was not dressed appropriately for the location. The man wore a white t-shirt, blue jogging shorts, and white socks and sneakers. Not suitable attire for the insect-ridden woods of Louisiana. Marv, suspecting something was amiss, called out to ask if the man needed help. The man continued walking, staring directly at Marv. Growing uneasy, Marv stood up and repeated his question more loudly. The man, now about 10 to 15 feet away, looked Marv in the eye and said, "Help me." Marv became increasingly worried because the man's speech seemed unnatural, as if he didn't know how to talk. The man repeated the phrase more emphatically and loudly, while Marv noticed that the man's voice seemed more feminine and sounded like a recording. Marv asked what the man needed help with, but the man remained motionless, staring directly at Marv, and repeated the phrase, "Help me," several more times. Marv, unsure of what was happening, demanded that the man leave unless he genuinely needed help. The man continued to repeat the phrase and took a step towards Marv, who then drew his .45 semi-automatic pistol and pointed it at the man, telling him to leave. The man's demeanor changed, becoming more animated and agitated, repeating the phrase louder, but not moving closer or farther away. Marv, assuming he was dealing with an unstable or potentially dangerous individual, fired a round into the ground in front of the man. At this point, the man stopped speaking, stared at Marv, and then performed a backflip and somersault into the woods, disappearing from sight, an effortless and unnatural movement, as if pulled by an unseen force. Marv remained focused on the forest, where the man had disappeared, and saw and heard no further movement. Despite being unshakable, Marv stayed in the area for the night and the following night without any additional incidents. When he shared this story with me and other friends, we asked him many questions, particularly about the man's speech. Marv explained that the more he thought about it, the more he believed it was a female's voice coming from the man, as if he or it had mimicked the phrase like a parrot or other talking bird. It almost seemed like a lure, but there were no indications of what it wanted or any other words spoken. Marv has since returned to the property without encountering any more strange events. He did mention hearing what sounded like a gunshot in the distance during the early morning of the first night, which was eerily similar to his .45. He thought he may have heard it again on the hike back, but it could have been other people hunting in the area. Since this incident and another unrelated experience, Marv researched the Kisatchee area and discovered numerous legends, stories, and alleged encounters involving skinwalkers, mimics, and other unnerving Native American folklore. Many aspects of his experience align with these tales, but there is no tangible evidence to prove anything. Even as a skeptic, it makes me wonder about the unexplained mysteries that might exist in the remote and untouched areas of the world. Broken Doll. When I was a child, I had pet rabbits that lived outside in a large cage inside a bigger shed. The shed was well equipped for rabbits, with heating and everything they needed. One day, my older sister and I, who were about 5 and 7 years old at the time, returned home late from an event, perhaps a family party. As we went out to feed the rabbits, we both saw what looked like an unnaturally tall, thin man running at an incredible speed through our swampy backyard. He easily cleared a massive fallen tree and navigated through mud and ferns, appearing to move at a speed of 15 or even 20 miles per hour. Terrified, we dropped what we were carrying and ran back inside. Our parents managed to convince us that it was a deer or something similar, and we wanted to believe it, so we did, for over a decade. Years later, I was at a park near my house with a friend late at night. As we pulled into the dirt road drive in my Subaru Outback, we parked facing the old practice field. It was too foggy to see across the field, except for a brief moment when we caught a glimpse of what appeared to be a very tall man running across the field. We sped away from the park as quickly as the Subaru could manage. Another time, a year or two later, I was at the same park under similar circumstances, but this time, it was clear and very windy. From across the field, we heard a simultaneous crash and scream, a shrill, terrifying, almost human screech that was louder and more horrifying than any sound we'd ever heard before. We left the park as fast as we could. During my sophomore year of high school, I had another strange encounter. I was at my friend Nick's house with a few other friends for a sleepover. That night, there was a severe weather warning due to a storm that had the potential to produce tornadoes, which it did in some parts of Massachusetts and near the Connecticut River Valley. We were thankful that Nick's house had a good-sized yard without tall trees that could fall in the intense wind. We were all set up on the second story of the top floor, discussing the storm and the possibility of tornadoes when we heard a loud bang and the entire house shook. After ruling out various theories like fallen trees, earthquakes, or wind damage, we decided to check the house armed with a few knives. While exploring, we noticed for the first time how many porcelain dolls Nick's mother owned. We eventually checked the basement and found it dry, with the bulkhead door locked shut. The sound hadn't come from there. The only room left was a tiny closet, barely big enough to hold folded linens. As we opened it, a porcelain doll fell and shattered on the floor. We never figured out why the doll was in the closet or what caused the loud bang, but we tried our best to forget about the incident and move on. Every once in a while, though, we'd hear a murmur or grunt, and we'd never know what it was or where it came from. We also never found out what happened to that broken doll. Not a cat or coyote. I was 16 when this incident occurred on July 8, 2016, in Massachusetts. The day started like any other. I went to school, took a test in my vet tech class at my technical high school, and then took the bus home. Both my parents were at work, as usual. When my mom didn't come home after 3 hours, I started to worry. At 5 p.m., my dad called to tell me that my mom had been in a car accident and that they were both at the hospital. By 10 p.m., my parents still hadn't returned home, so I put my younger brothers to bed. I stayed up, reading and writing an essay for school, until around 1 a.m., when my dad called to say he wouldn't be coming home that night. He was staying at a motel closer to the hospital. After the call, I continued working on my essay before heading upstairs. As I walked through the kitchen towards the stairs, I heard a loud moaning sound coming from outside. It was a pained noise that would occasionally stop as if the voice was cracking. I turned on the outside light and saw a severely injured coyote in the yard, just a few feet from the house. Its head was partially caved in, its paw was bleeding, and there was a long, deep gash running down its back. I tried to grab my phone from my pocket to call a 24/7 veterinary clinic, only to realize I'd left it on the table. As I rushed back to get it, the moaning grew louder and more pained before suddenly stopping. When I returned to the window, the coyote was gone. replaced by a common tabby cat with the same injuries. I stared at the cat, and it stared right back at me, unblinking. Something compelled me to go outside and look for the cat. I followed a trail of blood but found it ended abruptly after passing a gate. I searched for another 5 minutes but couldn't find anything. Even the veterinary clinic staff couldn't locate the trail when they arrived. I later realized there was no blood trail leading to my house. I'm convinced that the coyote and the cat were the same creature, and that it was neither a coyote nor a cat. No records of dead cats or coyotes with similar injuries were found, and the creature couldn't have gone far with those wounds. To this day, I have no idea what I saw, and my searches haven't yielded any answers. If anyone has any ideas, I'd love to hear them. Don't burn spiders. As a child, I had a fascination with burning spiders, something that horrifies me now. Whenever I found a spider, I would let my mother know, and she would burn it with a large lighter. I don't know how many spiders we burned, but it was a considerable number. When a spider is burned, its body becomes stiff and its legs curl inwards, creating a sphere-like shape. You could even hear the crunching of the poor creature. This was our usual procedure whenever I found a spider, and my brothers and I found it entertaining. However, one spider encounter was different. My brother and I were playing and running around the house when we spotted a large, ugly spider with thin legs, yellow with black and green stripes. We ran to our mother, who already knew what to do. She grabbed the lighter and followed us to the spider's location. As soon as the flame touched the spider, we heard an extremely loud scream, like that of a baby, filling the room. Instead of curling into a sphere, the spider turned to dust, black, thin, and leaving no trace behind. Since that day, I've become more fearful of spiders, often finding them in unexpected places. In Mexico, there are legends of nahuales, humans who can transform into animals or insects. Some people believe that I may have burned one of these beings, as the scream sounded like a baby. Others think it could have been a baby turned into a spider by a witch. Regardless, my fear of spiders remains, and I've sought help from experts, but their therapies haven't been effective. I accept these spider encounters as a form of punishment for my past aggression toward them. Interestingly, these occurrences only happen to me, not my brothers or my mother. Perhaps it's because I enjoyed the spider burning the most, but I'll never truly know. Dogs with human legs. To provide some context, this story takes place in Australia. I was traveling to a campsite located about 20 minutes past a small town and arrived an hour after dark. I was the only person there, and when I called the off-site caretaker to book, he mentioned that since it was just me, I could use the day shelter kitchen. So, instead of setting up my tent in the dark, I decided to drag my sleeping bag inside where there was ample light. Hours later, I needed something from my car, so I opened the sliding door, which was large and loud like a barn door. I looked out into the darkness, as there were no lights or moon, just the glow from the lights behind me. In a situation like this, the light reaches about 10 meters, and there's a 1 meter area where it drops off into complete darkness. In this small patch, I saw four legs. They weren't normal dog legs, but rather long and human-like. They were bright white and stretched up to where they could connect to the body of an animal, but there was nothing there. Then, the legs began to move. They walked parallel to the building, making sure to remain in the gray corridor before disappearing into the darkness. I decided that I didn't really need to get whatever it was from my car and chose to sleep barricaded in the tiny office. To this day, I don't know what those legs were, nor do I know how long they had been there before I saw them. But I do know that the creature was smart enough to understand how humans see and where the gray corridor was from my viewpoint. You guys are the best. Thank you for all your support and comment below if you had a scary or creepy experience. Also, make sure you stab that like button. And if you like these stories, check out this creepy story right here.